Hey, and welcome to the Media Obscura podcast. We're a show dedicated to discussing retro or obscure movies and television. On today's episode, we're talking about the 1997 movie Batman and Robin. It's our little tribute to Joel Schumacher, who passed away earlier this week after a battle with cancer. So we decided to like pivot away from Barbarella and just do this instead. I'm your host, Nick, and I'm joined today by my faithful co-hosts, Mike and Raekwon.
Yes.
Hey.
So, Mike, you did something really interesting this week. You actually, and this is a true story, if I'm not mistaken, you actually got a new smoothie recipe put together, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. You want to tell them what it is?
Well.
Sewer water and bath salts. That's right. Yeah, Mike, that is.
With a hint of lemon. The lemon, what does it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the zest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be taking that onto the cooking network, the food network.
Gordon Ramsay's going to try it, and he's gonna be like, it's phenomenal, and it's going to be all great. I'll start selling it nationwide.
Imagine if Gordon Ramsay actually like tasted that, and he's like, God, this is phenomenal, and then he just starts like puking his guts out just everywhere.
I feel like I'm already losing weight.
Oh, I feel like that Madonna song, and I feel like I just got home. And I feel,
you know what this person is? An idiot sandwich. You know what you're not? An idiot sandwich. This is perfect. It's not wrong.
Is that more like Guy Fieri than anything?
Yeah, I love these Gordon Ramsay impressions.
Mine at least is like the like trajectory of being correct. Mike is just like, yeah, and then I'm just going to be like, bam.
That's a different guy altogether.
Yeah, that's the joke. Mike has found the thread, but can he sew with it?
So, I don't know how to sew.
Okay, so
I only know how to make
no.
smoothies.
I'm right near a sewing machine. You want to see?
Yes.
You actually.
What?
For fuck's sake, he actually is right next to a sewing machine.
Yeah, that's modern. My aunt has the old-fashioned like pump with your foot sewing machine.
Ooh, nice. There's a bigger one next to me, but I'm not going to pick this one up.
God, oh my.
This one looks like hernia.
Raekwon's now, since he has a sewing machine and a bigger sewing machine, he has to make a Media Obscura quilt.
I was going to ask him if he could make me booties for my feetsies.
Footy pajamas.
What else is footy here?
Pajamas.
Oh God, what does he have? His pad of tricks. Oh God. Careful. He's getting it.
Why does it look like he's pulling insulation out of the wall?
It just punches a hole. Look at this thing. I don't know what it is, but it's interesting.
It looks important.
What the hell?
Oh, that's a wig.
It's a mannequin with a wig on its head. Why? Are you becoming a cosmetologist?
I'm at my grandmother's sewing desk.
She sews hair?
I don't know why her wig is over here.
That's amazing, though. Honestly, I can't really judge you for just having a wig next to you because my basement at my parents' place also just has a wig there.
I forgot that you're not in your house in your room. So I don't know why I immediately thought you had a wig in your own room. That really threw me for a loop there. You're like, yeah, it's my grandma's house. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's for Raekwon's time.
I mean, I own a wig.
Yeah, I own a wig
working
too.
Working at the pyramid tonight.
Oh, man, can't miss
that. Oh, my God,
Raekwon
just rocking a Frank Ocean reference.
Yeah, got it. See?
Yeah. No, but it's not even like a new Frank Ocean reference. It's for like a 10-year-old album, which means it's old enough for me to think it's cool.
That's like, yeah, it's just obscure enough for the podcast.
I can actually name the last time I've listened to Pyramid by Frank Ocean, Raekwon.
Was it a few days ago like me?
No. It was several years ago walking through college and then running into you. You ran into me when I was walking through like the student center, and we like stopped and had a conversation. This was like after we had taken acting together, and I was actually listening to Pyramid by Frank Ocean, and that's the last time I remember listening to that song.
And
is that that's an obscure song, right? It's not like, oh, you've heard it before, just don't know it in the name.
It is a pretty popular Frank Ocean song.
I never heard it.
It's off channel. Channel Orange, right?
Yes.
So like it's off of a really popular album. It was everywhere if you listened to that kind of music. It wasn't like you would turn on the radio and hear it though.
Okay.
So
like I know like there's the meme where it's like that's like
that
roundabout.
Song. Yeah.
That's roundabout. And I didn't know that until it came on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I was listening to Yes a couple of weeks ago when that song came on and I was like, I keep forgetting that this is like a real song.
You said roundabout?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the name of the song that's the meme.
Okay,
for.
Small thing. you sent us a JoJo meme video.
I did.
To the group chat. Did you guys know that Roundabout is the closing song for season of JoJo? I'm on the roundabout.
Because that's where the meme came from, isn't it?
The to be continued thing.
Yeah.
That's where it's from?
Yeah, it's a JoJo reference.
I don't watch JoJo.
Watch that PewDiePie shit, man.
It's an anime, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
God, is it on Netflix?
Yes.
Oh,
Raekwon's been trying to get me to watch JoJo for as long as he's known me, by the way.
I know One Piece and Naruto are on now, so I guess.
Oh my god, Mike is such an anime connoisseur.
But
he calls it
Naruto, so I'm kind of pissed. So it basically ends where I left off. I'm like, great. Now I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I think they put all the episodes of the original Naruto on there, but
it's
not
on Hulu.
Shippuden.
It's not like four seasons. So I'm like, great. I know. But now I gotta watch JoJo. Do they use a yo-yo in it? Am I crazy? Is that, or just PewDiePie talking out of his butt? I don't know.
There are no yo-yos that I
okay.
Can. Mike, all I think right. You should just watch Yu Yu Hakusho instead.
And like I'm hearing people say you should watch My Hero Academia.
I watched a bit of My Hero. It's a good show.
Because apparently there are people with like weird powers. The only clip I remember from that is like with like soup is like this and that and then a gun and they throw a gun in the soup.
Yeah. Anyway, Batman and Robin. Yep. So today we're doing 1997's Batman and Robin. Technically not obscure, but like it's a movie that people keep trying to bury or they keep talking about it like it's the worst thing ever. And we figured what with Joel Schumacher passing away, like let's do something kind of lighthearted and fun because I actually like this movie.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think other than us, because I feel like I wouldn't have watched it if I didn't have the DVD already at my house.
Of course.
I feel like our generation is the cutoff of it becoming whether it's going to be obscure or not. I think people younger than us have never seen it. So it's kind of obscure. Well,
I think they haven't seen it, but they've probably heard of it and they probably don't want to watch it because they think it's like awful. To which I say it's not a good movie.
But now that Joel Schumacher passed away, it's not going to become obscure anymore because they're going to start binging his movies now. Because they're like, oh, yeah, he did these. Remember that? And they're going to start watching it again.
Yeah, everyone will be like, I feel like this is going to be the last movie people start rewatching. Like people will talk about Flatliners or The Lost Boys or St. Elmo's Fire before
Never
they do this. All
I thought St. Elmo's Fire was a song.
Yeah, but the song was for the
movie. That's for the movie?
I'm pretty sure it was.
What's the movie about?
It's a coming of age movie starring Judd Nelson, Rob Lowe,
Does it involve an actual fire?
No, I don't think so.
Then it's a lie and I don't want to watch it.
Is Flatliners the one that came out like a few years ago?
That's a remake.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like Joel Schumacher has made a lot of movies that like are pretty well ingrained in like society. Like they're pretty well known movies. Everyone talks about him like he has only done Batman and Robin and Batman Forever, but that's not the case.
And it's what's weird is that, at least for me growing up, I didn't associate directors with movies. Like other people go, oh, it's Batman, the Joel Schumacher movie. I'm like, who? You have to say like George Clooney or...
Yeah, you have to name the guy in it.
You have to name the actors to know what movie you're talking about with any movie and not the director.
That's kind of like...
If you say Twin Peaks, well, other than you know it's like Twin Peaks, you would say the David Lynch movie. And you're like, oh, now I know what David Lynch does. But Joel Schumacher was more obscure to me.
Yeah, I will say like, and first off, I know this is the case because every time I talk about Batman 89 or the Tim Burton one, I always have to follow up or wait for you to ask. Yes, the one with the Prince music.
Well, the Prince. It's the Prince one. Yeah.
The Prince one, Mike.
The good one.
That literally just happened before we started recording.
Yeah.
I always got to make sure. It's either the Jack Nicholson one or the Prince one. Either one. Yeah.
Or the Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, coming back. He's coming back as Batman.
Three best Batmans. Michael Keaton, George Clooney, and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Val Kilmer,
thank you.
Can't even name him, and he's like one of your favorite Batmans.
I knew I was going to forget his name. I was like, I have to look up his name. I looked up his name. I'm like, all right, Val Kilmer. I'll remember Val Kilmer.
Christian Bale Batman?
I know. Mike's Batman list is weird.
Should we talk about the movie more before we start discussing why I don't like it?
Yeah, we should. But for the record, my favorite Batmans in order are... the voice of Batman from the 90s animated series and Justice League, because as far as I'm concerned, he is Batman.
Yeah. And Mark Hamill's in it, right?
That's the Joker.
But
in the cartoon.
You talk about the same cartoon where Mark Hamill was
voicing
the Joker.
We're talking about the 90s cartoon.
Okay.
That's Batman as far as I'm concerned, followed by Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton. Third, I'm going to get some flack for it, Batfleck. I like Batfleck.
Yeah, I'll get to that. Either.
He's not in a good movie, but like he's a good Batman.
He has potential, but just the way they made the movie around him sucked.
I don't hate Christopher Nolan's take on Batman. I actually love the movies. I do like Christian Bale in them, but like, see, my thing is I like social commentary, but don't beat me over the head with it. The Dark Knight is too much of a commentary on post 9/11 America. It's a great movie. It's a masterpiece. It's fantastic, but it's so overbearing for me that I just can't like sit down on a Friday night and watch The Dark Knight.
Yeah, and the problem with Batman series is that everyone knows the origin story, so they usually give a quick clip of like the origin story just to give their take on the origin story, but they never do it anymore. They just go straight, you should know Batman. Good, done.
Well, but it kind of bugs me that like the beginning of Batman v Superman was literally Batman's parents dying. I remember being in the theater and watching that happen, and I was with Austin, our buddy, and I literally just looked at him and I was like, I'm gonna fucking hate this movie.
What they should do is stop bringing it up and have it at one, so it gets to a point where like people are like, we want to see an origin story again, and have it. They should do it. I mean, the Joker basically kind of did this. What the hell is that? Taika Waititi,
Christopher Nolan,
Joaquin Phoenix,
that movie.
It was a Joker origin story, but it was also a Batman origin story because you saw like how his childhood was like, and kind of. It'd be interesting to see a more serious Batman with no Batman, but like his childhood growing up and what it was like before.
I don't even agree with that. I tweeted about this and then we'll get into Batman.
You don't agree
and Robin.
With it? Like no. His parents dying and what was the process after that?
Like that's cool, but like we kind of got that in Batman Begins already. What I want is, so basically what Raekwon said with Michael Keaton returning is the rumor is that Michael Keaton is going to be in the Flash movie because the Flash is going to jump through universes.
Ooh.
And he's going to get into Batman's universe. And this was already kind of teased in Crisis on Infinite Earths this year in 2019, because during the Crisis on Infinite Earths, they show the other universes. Like they show Superman Returns. They show Ezra Miller had a cameo as the Flash in Crisis. And he runs into the DC TV show Flash at one point.
Yes, sir.
But they show Gotham City in Crisis on Infinite Earths. And they show the reporter that was friends with Vicky Vale in the Tim Burton Batman movie reading the newspaper. So the rumor is that the Flash is going to run into Bruce Wayne and it's going to be Michael Keaton, to which I go, I want that to be them setting up a Batman Beyond movie. Give me Michael Keaton in a chair coaching a young new Batman.
Oh, yes.
Robert Pattinson.
Please.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson. There you go. That'd be awesome. Ooh. Give me that. Give me him putting on the bat suit, like the armored bat suit with like all the basically the Iron Man suit one. Give me that.
I don't want Robert Pattinson to be Batman. I don't see him being Batman.
I think I'm going to like Robert Pattinson's Batman for some reason.
I'm looking at it.
I'm very optimistic about that.
The guy knows bats.
You guys know bats. He's a vampire. I mean, he's more than qualified. He's sparkly.
Yeah.
But like, if other than Robert Pattinson for there be a Batman Beyond, who would you choose as the new Batman for Batman
Beyond?
Okay,
so hear me out. Hear me out. This would be a total impossibility. Tom Holland.
Yes, I mean he has a contract with not Marvel, but that's the problem.
It's also just the meta side of things where I want Tom Holland to be the new Batman because it means that he was coached by Tony Stark, whom Michael Keaton hated in Spider-Man Homecoming, only to be coached by the DC version of Iron Man, basically.
I was going to say, since you went Spider-Man, I was going to say Tobey Maguire. I want another.
Toby would not be a good Batman, and that's why I would pay hand over foot to see it.
I have a legitimate choice that I think could happen, and probably it should.
Let's hear it.
Robbie Amell.
I have to look that name
up.
Who is he?
So let me tell you what he's been in.
Robbie Amell. Steven, he looks familiar.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. Cheaper by the Dozen. The Duff.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, I'm looking at his picture. He would make a pretty good Batman.
Yeah, he looks
like an action guy.
Yeah, he looks like he could actually do. He looks like an action guy, but not in the sense that like Chris Hemsworth or Chris Pratt are, where they're just like gigantic.
They're just a pretty face.
Well, no, I mean they're shredded as fuck, but this guy looks like he actually is a human being. Where like Chris Pratt and like Chris Hemsworth are human beings, but they just eat zero body fat and zero carbs to get ungodly jacked.
They also probably dehydrate their body to get the tone.
Yeah, definitely. Oh my god, half of their muscle is dehydration.
That's rough. Being like an action star that has muscle. If they want you to have muscle, they will dehydrate the hell out of you.
Yep.
And I think that's what happened with Christian Bale or Ben Affleck. I think there was an actor that like. Oh no, it was who played the new Superman?
Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill when he did The Witcher. Dehydrated body to high heaven to make him tone. And he was old. He felt like garbage. He said he hated making this because he was so like felt so bad.
It's really bad. No one ever talks about like what goes on in Hollywood in order to get people these unrealistic bodies, because it is exactly that. It's unrealistic. You look to like action movies from like the 70s and the early 80s when there were still human beings. Mm-hmm. And like it's the joke from Tropic Thunder where it's like you look like, you know, you look like Rambo in Rambo 1 or Rambo 2. Like you're a little puffy. Like, but like Rambo 3, he's jacked. You know,
I mean, that's steroids.
Yeah, that's like steroids. Workout for Batman to become Batman was fucking insane. You guys see any of those like the list of things he had to do?
I can just imagine, though, like it's calorie counting. It's working out for like 4 hours a day. Probably.
And then once the movie's done, you're not doing that consistently anymore unless they do a sequel.
Yeah,
exactly. I know for Christian Bale's Batman, Christian Bale got jacked for Batman and then did a movie where he had to be really skinny. So we had to fluctuate his body weight completely.
That's the thing. Like Christian Bale also, he says he doesn't do it anymore, but he still does. We're like, he did that movie where he played Dick Cheney and he gained like a stupid amount of weight for it. And then he did Ford v Ferrari and he lost a stupid amount of weight for it.
That's not healthy.
No, it isn't. And he keeps saying that he's done doing it. And everyone's like, you're going to keep doing it.
Like, I'm not going to keep doing it.
Stop doing it.
He has to for like his health.
He says that until they offer him. They say that he says he's going to do that until someone offers him millions of dollars to do a movie. He's like, okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
You say you wouldn't do it for a million?
For a million?
For like 20 million or something.
Yeah, like come on.
Yeah. One, I mean, the first time, maybe a million, I'd be like, ooh, that's a lot of money. After that, I'm like, no, you're paying me more.
There you go. Anyway, Batman and Robin. Batman came out in 1997, critically maligned, killed the franchise for about a decade.
Really?
This movie did so badly and got such bad reviews that they didn't make a live action Batman movie until like 2004, 2005.
I think that's a good thing. It gave it like a hiatus. Like everything calmed down. And
but the thing is, it killed the reputation of Batman too. Like, not only did this movie do badly, this movie hurt the IP. You know, like they made a Mr. Freeze Batman animated movie about a year maybe after this, and they were concerned about releasing it because of the reputation this movie had.
I liked it. The Alfred bits about that whole plot B, I was like,
yeah. I like this movie, but for all the wrong reasons.
Because like it for the bat nipples.
I love the bat nipples. I love the bat buttocks, the bat credit card,
bat nipples,
the bat sled. At the climax of this movie, when they're like, the villain's sled. Gonna freeze the world, quick change into our new Batman costumes and get the bat sled, available at KB Toys. You know, like the problem with this movie is that literally they probably had a good movie at some point. And then the suits at DC and the suits at Warner Brothers got their hands and their fingers all up in it.
The suits are perfect. Don't you diss the suits.
It's like washing rice. They overwashed the rice. They were just like, this is an opportunity to make content, to bring out new merchandise. They got too greedy.
And you know they did it on purpose too, because they pointed, because we'll start talking about the movie now, because then I'll talk about this. Because right when the movie starts, after the credits, it goes, excuse me, a Joel Schumacher movie. They start putting their gear on, like the montage of them putting their arm on.
Oh, and you could tell it's for the toy commercials.
And then they had the chest part. And it's like nipples and then abs. It's like, what the nipples there for? And then they turn and it's butt. Firm. Thicker than a Snicker butt. Thicker than a Snicker butt. And then the leg and everything else. Basically, the chest and the butt were the longest shots out of the whole montage.
Yeah. And then, hear the ass clench when they show the butt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Joel Schumacher loves his homoerotic cinematography. Let's make no mistakes about it.
But I bet they did that because Batman's before that always had weird tight suits, and I guess he was calling it out on that.
No. So what happened here is that I'll give you the lowdown of why this movie turned out the way it did. Basically, this is a continuation. It's still in the same universe, technically, of the Michael Keaton Batman movies. So Tim Burton, in 1989, he put out Batman. 1991, he put out Batman Returns. 1994, maybe, he put out Batman Forever. And then 1997 is this one. So what happened was the first two Batman movies, the Tim Burton joints, awesome. They were cool. They were dark. They were gothic. They were edgy for the time. And yes, they had the Danny Elfman score, which certainly helps.
And Prince, because it's Tim Burton too.
Yes, but well, the first one did. But anyway, so that happened. That was awesome. But Warner Brothers, after Batman Returns, were kind of skittish on giving Tim Burton that much power over a movie. And they were like, this is a little heavy. This is a little, you know, we want this to be a summer movie for kids. And you got Danny DeVito eating cats.
That's a little they don't like.
Yeah. So cool down a little bit. You can make your new one, you can make this movie. And then the closer they got, they just eventually were like, this is So they fired him, brought in Joel Schumacher, who made Batman Forever, which is a much more colorful, lighthearted movie.
That's the where Robin came in, right?
Yeah, that's the one with Robin. That's the one with Jim Carrey.
Where his whole family dies.
And Tommy Lee Jones. And then they made this one, and they were like, let's keep doing it. Let's make a more colorful movie. Let's get a bunch of cool, hip bands on the soundtrack. The Flaming Lips were on the soundtrack to, I want to say, Batman Forever. You know, so it was really like a marketed, it was more of a product than it was a movie. It's not to say Tim Burton's movies weren't products, because they had a soundtrack by Prince, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, they were movies first. Batman and Robin came out and they wanted to do something like the 60s Batman with a 90s edge.
Yes, I was going to make that connection.
And it made no sense.
Oh.
I mean, you know, it was a fucking train wreck of a movie. I love it because it's a train wreck, but admittedly, that's a very niche thing, you know? So,
yeah.
I never gave my top three Batmans.
Oh, what's your top three Batmans? I'm sorry.
Problematic choices, I guess.
Are they?
No. Okay. The cartoon Batman, that one is just legendary. Is that the same? Is it the same voice for the Batman cartoon as the Justice League Batman?
Yeah, it's the same universe, actually.
Okay, so yeah.
There was a DC universe in the 90s where all the cartoons were connected. And then when those shows started to end, they made Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. And then I think like Static Shock was like on at the same time.
Oh, yeah, Static Shock.
Superhero Static Shock. All right, anyway, that's really in the theme song.
Oh, I know. I remember that.
So cartoon Batman, Justice League Batman, Christian Bale, Batfleck.
No, not controversial. Batfleck might be, but like when you and I are there together. Yeah.
I think it's because it's new. Give it time and people will warm up to it.
No, I genuinely just like the idea of a gritty like Batman like juggling his morals. And I think if you're going to have anyone struggle with his morals, it should be Ben Affleck.
And he was ready to kill too.
Oh, he killed.
Yeah. I like
I liked Ben Affleck as Batman. I feel like he was a good Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. He has the charm.
His own movie.
Yeah.
You know what would be funny if the Ben Affleck Batman, his brother had a cameo in it at one point.
Casey Affleck was just in it. he was Alfred.
Oh, but it's like he's playing his character from Good Will Hunting.
Oh my god.
Imagine him being Alfred. Oh my god.
He's solving stuff.
His butler should have been Matt Damon.
That's who Matt Damon had to be in that Batman. That's not fair that he wasn't. They have to be together.
Do you like apples?
How do you like them apples? Wait, what villain should Matt Damon play?
Matt Damon should have been like the lamest Batman villain I can think of. Stiltman.
I thought the Penny Plunderer was a Batman villain. Or was that a Superman villain?
No, that's a Batman villain, because there's that giant penny in the Batcave.
That's right. Yeah, that's Batman. So you got Stiltman and the Penny Plunderer.
Exactly.
Perfect. Oh, like Matt Damon. They missed a good opportunity. Like, they could have made like 5 seconds, like a couple minutes in the beginning of the movie. He's like, find someone, he gets the Penny Plunderer. The Stiltman's like, these villains are getting weirder and weirder. And just I can like
almost see the trailer to that movie in the back of my head. In a world of justice, I'm Batman. One man stands up against him. And then it cuts to a sniper scope lifting on Batman. And then Alfred's like, Mr. Wayne, Jason Bourne is here.
Jesus Bourne is Jason Christ.
Oh my God, it's Jason Bourne.
Yo, reindeer games. Oh God.
So, okay, I've been listening to a ton of podcasts, and one of my favorites, I don't know if you guys know.
Other than the Media Obscura?
Yeah, we're number one in my list. But
I'd be concerned if we weren't.
You guys know who Tom Segura is?
No, but you've been telling me to listen to his podcast.
Yeah, he has two that I really like. One with another comedian named Bert Kreischer, and one with his wife, Christina P., whatever. But they have, obviously, they have a producer. And they use a lot of sound bites, you know, a lot of stuff in their episode. And when you just said that, I'm like, damn, I wish I was like the guy that could just insert a sound right now.
You want a soundboard?
I could put it in post, just like a dramatic bass. In a world.
Ruled by justice.
Yeah, ruled by justice. And then in the background, America.
Oh my God.
Is this a Trump ad? Yeah, I don't
know. Sounds like something with the Batman with Bane in it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bane.
So we should talk about the plot of this fucker. So
I like this Bane.
This movie is about, and we're not going to dive deep into the plot of this movie. We're going to pick out moments from it. But the basic synopsis is that Batman and Robin are out doing Batman and Robin things when Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's Mr. Freeze in this thing, shows up and he's like, ah, diamonds.
And I gotta save my frozen wife.
Yeah. So Mr. Freeze is here trying to get diamonds for his cryogenically frozen wife, who's dying from a rare syndrome that isn't curable yet, called, Michael, you'll like this, McGuega syndrome.
Oh no, not McGuega syndrome. Evil McGuega.
And meanwhile, Uma Thurman is listening to Fall Out Boy in Brazil or something.
Brazil?
She's in like South America. And she is witnessing her boss get his funding terminated by Bruce Wayne because he wants to create weapons using this drug called Venom. He creates a villain named Bane.
Oh, their funding was already cut.
Oh, and that's why he was building it as a weapon.
He was showing the weapon off to like.
Oh, the Ununited Nations. It was just a bunch of nondescript Middle Eastern people. I remember raising my eyebrow at that because I was eating halal food when I saw this happen.
All the way on the left looked like there was like a U.S. military leader there. All right. So
it was at least one American, but they were all, a majority of them were Middle Eastern.
Yes. The majority of them were nondescript Middle Easterners, Mike.
Yeah.
That or I would say North Korean or Chinese.
Yeah. I think there was one clearly North Korean person there too. Anyway, he creates this guy named Bane, whose superpower is he's a juicer. And Bane, unsurprisingly, kills the scientist. And I wrote down very specifically, this is exactly what would have happened in the movie Bride of the Monster if Bela Lugosi successfully made a Superman. Because that's what would have happened. Like,
just killed him.
He would have just killed Bela Lugosi.
I was molded by it.
Yeah, Bane doesn't talk in this movie, Mike.
He does talk. Sort of. His words.
He sounds like Lobo from Bride of the Monster.
He repeats the last word you said. Like, if
monkey
you
business.
Wash my hands. You'd be like,
hands. Business.
Him in a suit. Business. Lifts a suitcase up.
Oh. See, I like this Bane. It's more interesting. It's not like some jack dude that's just pissed at the world with a respirator on.
Well,
what?
I disagree. But anyway, so that's going on. And then at some point, Poison Ivy and Mr. Freeze team up and they want to take over the world by freezing the entire planet to kill off life so that Poison Ivy can have her nature plants control everything and Mr. Freeze can just be chilly boy.
See, now I have a problem. She says that she wants to infuse plant DNA with animal DNA so they can fight back. I'm like, plants have defense mechanisms. What do you think peppers are? All right? There are trees that have spikes on it. If you like poke yourself, your hand will swell.
I think the point is that their defense mechanisms, but Poison Ivy wants like actual warrior plants. Yeah, warrior plants.
There's Venus flytraps that eat bugs.
That eats her. That's what ultimately beats her in the movie. She gets pushed into her own plant and it tries to eat her.
That's right.
My big thing with the movie is, so the whole plan is they're trying to freeze the Earth. That means that in this movie, Batman and Robin's solution to stop the villain is literally global warming. Because they are literally heating up Gotham City. That is their solution. The solution is global warming.
And they were doing stuff about space, and you can't do anything about space and get it by me without me criticizing it. Well, you can't have the mirror thing where it reflects the light. Maybe I have to look into that more. It could be possible. I don't think so. There's might be too much light interference just from the sun.
Yeah, there's too much light. The light will get diluted because there's sunlight everywhere.
Exactly. There are. That's how reflector telescopes work. You get a big mirror, and it focuses the light into a small point, and then that's how you see better images of stuff. That's why they're more preferred. Usually, that's what you see that's in deep space. But my problem was not that the mirrors might not work. I'm like, it's plausible. There's stuff wrong with it. But towards the end, when they start moving the satellites closer and moving them around, that ain't taking 5 seconds. That's going to take a long ass time. All right.
They're giant satellites in space.
It requires taking astronomy. So he should be knowing
I'm taking general astronomy. I got pissed off when they were shooting a beam of sunlight.
Yeah. See, when that happened, it flashed me back to Bruce Almighty where Morgan Freeman was quoting Jim Carrey's character. He's like, God is just a mean kid with a magnifying glass. I'm like, is this what they're referencing?
Or basically,
is Batman God?
I have a book of the Justice League's greatest moments, and one of the last is when Batman becomes a member of the Green Lantern Corps, or he's a White Lantern, which is like
the best?
Yeah, and he's literally sitting on a throne. Lantern. Yeah, he's sitting on a throne. He goes, I'm God now.
Batman is, I mean, if we're going to talk about like who is the strongest and best superhero in the DC universe, it's Batman. He's the only one without powers, and he has, in the Justice League, has every single person's weakness as a collateral just in case they go rogue. And that's really cool, and I love that.
I have a lot of feelings about Batman. I enjoy Batman. I like Batman. I wasn't even going to bring up my disdain for Batman on this episode.
Uh-oh. But he is.
I don't get the Batman hype. Why is Batman your favorite superhero? He is just a guy. Batman naked, he's dying.
But period. He has contingency plans just in case. And that's why he's great. He's just a rich guy. He's Tony Stark, all right? Take Tony Stark's armor away.
I'll shoot Batman.
Tony Stark? You take his suit away, you can shoot Tony Stark.
I love that's Batman. That's
true. He's not my favorite superhero.
Okay, first off, don't take the Lord's name in vain, Raekwon. Second off, I was on your side because I'm a Superman guy. I personally have always believed that if Superman actually wanted to kill Batman, Batman wouldn't have time to activate his contingencies.
Yes. Yes. Or the Flash. The Flash is possibly the most powerful superhero.
Oh, no, he is the most powerful. He can literally destroy the multiverse by running.
He can also phase through matter and make the atoms explode.
Mm-hmm. He could literally just grab onto Batman by his cape, run him to the end of time, and then run back. And he's just
throw him into a T-Rex because this is Injustice Rules, baby.
So then who can win in a fight, Superman or the Flash?
Depends which Superman.
So then the Flash is not the best hero.
It depends on which Superman.
Yeah, it does. Superman didn't have all those powers to begin with. They kind of edited him.
I'm thinking more of the today Superman, the most recent one, because that's what we're all going to be referencing off of. Because then there's also the Richard Pryor Superman.
No, we're not talking about the movies. We're talking about in the comic books, Superman originally, because the whole idea of Superman was that it's an immigrant story, so he gets what he needs. Like, up until like the 70s, probably, if Superman needed a superpower to do something, he just happened to have the superpower. Because that's just the way comics were written. So like they had to retcon Superman, and then they needed, because the problem is Superman is just too strong a character. It's like, how do you make an engaging comic book if it's Superman?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I don't like about Superman. He's just too powerful. It's like, all right, there's nothing special about him. He's just best, apparently.
I like Superman for what he represents. But like, yeah, that's the problem they had. So what they did was they started to say, like, Superman put these mental barriers on himself. So he's not as strong as he actually doesn't know how to use his strength.
I hate that.
It's kind of bullshit, but like,
I liked it when they did it in the, I forget which movie, or could have even been Smallville, where
I think it was Smallville,
where the reason for it was because he didn't like it was like he was raised on Earth, so it's like he doesn't have any idea on how to like truly tap into his real potential. Mm-hmm. And in one of the cartoons, I think the Dark Side one, when he was piecing him up and like tossing him all across the city, he's like, all right, I'm not gonna hold back anymore. I was like, that's really cool. Like, I want to see an unhinged Superman, you know, like he knows how to use his powers. He'd probably be like, then we would be able to gauge how powerful he is. But because it's just like, well, he's super strong, but he doesn't know how to use his strength.
We kind of saw that, at least in a movie with Superman, where his like doppelganger comes out and fights him.
Kind of. In Superman 3, I guess.
But I could see what you mean. It'd be very interesting to see Superman full out go out without.
I think you kind of see a bit of that in like the death of Superman 2, when like Doomsday is destroying Metropolis. Like, Superman gets dicked by Doomsday.
But it's not
like
his full potential.
No, but exactly. Like, he keeps getting dicked by Doomsday, but because it's Superman and he keeps pushing himself harder, he starts to like do better in the fight. And I think it's because he actually is forcing himself to hit harder, so he's learning how to do it. So yeah, I mean, of like it in
he
theory,
spends most of his time like saving kittens from trees and old ladies from getting hit by a car. He saves
kittens from burning buildings and old ladies from trees. Raekwon, get it right.
Also, he at least in the movies, the one thing I have is that he's very, I mean, I guess it's fine, but it's very biased and easy to do that. He always saves Lois, if anything. Like, if he had to choose between Lois and a school bus full of children, he would have chose Lois anyway.
No, because in the first Superman movie, he lets Lois die. He
and
freaks
what does he
out,
do?
And then he time travels somehow.
He reverses the Earth thing. You can't do that.
That's an example of him doing something just because he, like, wants to do it. He doesn't know if he can do it or not. He's just like, okay, I'm gonna try this, and he can do it.
That's the exact thing they retconned.
One, not possible. That's also not how it works.
In Superman 2, he realizes he doesn't want Lois to know he's Superman, so he just kisses her and she forgets.
Kissing
also,
memory.
Also, he kills Zod by throwing the S from his like Superman shirt.
And apparently, yeah, time crazy. Is independent on Earth and from the universe.
Really? So just
well, oh my god!
It's daytime. Well, what we didn't know is Superman didn't actually change time. It was just daylight savings.
Oh, there you go. But
had to roll the clocks back an hour.
But do you think the idea that Superman cannot mess with the laws of nature? He should have that. Like he even though Lois dies, is like, well, I can't do that, just against the rules.
See, the thing is, if you're gonna do a Superman that can fuck with the laws of danger, you have to make him a villain. If you want it to be a good story and you want him to be that all powerful, you gotta make him a villain.
I mean, in the new one, they brought him back from the dead, and they're like, why didn't you leave me dead?
Well, that's based on the comic again. Not well, but
not very well.
They should have, if they really wanted to, and then we'll really talk about just Batman and Robin. If they really wanted to handle Superman's death better in Justice League, they would have killed him for a full movie, and they would have done what happened in the comics. Granted, what happened in the comics was dumb, but it happened, and it was there's something there. So in the comics, Superman dies, everyone is sad, and then three Supermen appear. One is a cyborg who thinks he's Superman. Another is Superboy, which I think it just turns out to be a clone. And then a third one is like a shape-shifting alien that Superman had saved one day that decided to impersonate Superman to keep his legacy alive.
But all three are weaker than Superman.
All three are not Superman.
But they're not. But they don't have any powers.
No, they do.
But they're not as strong as Superman.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not as strong as Superman. But for most shit, it's fine.
Is there any DC character that is stronger than Superman?
Shazam is pretty close.
No, I need someone that's like above Superman. Is there anyone?
According to the CW show, Supergirl is stronger than Superman.
Super person.
I heard that too, yeah.
Yeah.
She from Krypton?
Yeah, she's actually older than Superman canonically. So she's Kal-El's cousin, who was a teenager when Krypton blew up. She was sent to Earth to watch over baby Kal-El, but she got stuck in the Phantom Zone. And then she came out when Superman was already an adult and Superman, and she was still a teenager.
But my problem is that he gets his powers because how Earth is, right?
Yeah, he gets his powers from the sun.
Not Earth?
No, he gets his powers from specifically red suns.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, if he leaves Earth, does he still have his powers?
Yes, but the further away he gets from the sun.
Oh, my God. I just realized what you said. The sun is not a red sun, damn it.
Oh, no, it's not a red sun. You're right. Sorry. Red suns are what takes away his powers. It's the other way.
So yellow sun, suns?
Yeah, yellow suns power him up. Red suns weaken him.
Okay, I was like, wait a minute.
there's a version of Superman that's like fucking like all powerful when he goes to the sun and literally just like stays there for a long time. That,
he charges himself like a battery. Think of Superman as a solar powered battery.
Yeah,
like,
but like that golden Superman, he was like being charged by the sun for a long time, and then he just came back like golden and shit. Mm-hmm. And he's just
so
like,
Sonic with all the chaos crystals,
chaos emeralds.
Shut up.
Yes, but like that's Superman in a nutshell. Let's talk about
Batman and Robin.
Batman
so we talked about the
Din.
Bat nips and bat butt. That was the opening, and then the first lines out of that movie is like, "I want a car. Can I? I want a car. Chicks dig the car. This is why Superman works alone."
Yeah, like we get this whole stupid ass sequence of them suiting up, and then the first lines of this like superhero movie is Robin begging for a car.
He has a motorcycle.
But that's like kind of the crux of this movie. It's every time it was supposed to be dramatic and epic, it just wasn't. Like, this movie feels as much like a porn parody of Batman as it does a Batman movie.
I liked it because it was that cheesy.
No, exactly. Again, I say this as a person that genuinely loves this movie, thinks you should totally watch it, but like, it's a dumb fucking movie. Mr. Freeze's henchmen hang out in an ice ring, and nobody in Gotham is like, oh yeah, ice-themed villain. Let's go to a place with ice.
This ice cream place right here that's frozen solid. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
Although, why was Vivica Fox in this movie?
She just was.
Why?
That's she, Batgirl?
Was in like, she was in two scenes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh. Vivica Fox. That was Batman's girlfriend.
Oh, right? Yeah.
No, not Batman. Mr. Freeze's girlfriend.
Oh,
the only like black woman in the movie when she's like flirting with him the first time we see him in the frozen lair.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. He has a girlfriend, which is also weird because he has a girlfriend, but he's doing this all for his wife.
But he didn't. I thought that wasn't his girlfriend.
I don't think they're together. I think she wants him, and she's like trying to get with him in the movie, but he's denying.
I guess so. That
very cold wiener of his.
Yeah, I kept thinking about how that's gonna work. I couldn't stop thinking about that.
It's like licking a very cold pole and your tongue sticks to it.
Yeah, Raekwon, you ever seen A Christmas Story? That's what it would look like.
Here you go. The fire department's going to come. This is going to be a big problem here.
Yeah. Every time every time Poison Ivy flirted with him and then she like eventually tried to kill his wife, I'm like, but how is the sex going to work?
Wow. Well, I mean,
it's implied that she can't like control him with her pheromones
because it's
for warm-blooded people.
She has a cold heart. He has a cold heart. That's why she finds him attractive.
Yeah,
because she can't control him, which is cool.
I guess. I will just say while we're talking about that person trying to get with Mr. Freeze, mm-hmm. I do like that she has this whole moment where she's like hitting on him and she's like, "Oh, Freezy, I'm so hot," and then just like very matter of factly, very disinterested, he's just like, "I find that unlikely."
Yeah. Piss off.
That's just, I like that. Arnold Schwarzenegger is so criminally wasted in this movie.
I like Mr. Freeze. He was a chaotic good. Like he was a anti-hero. No, like, I would say anti-villain, not anti-hero.
None of his dialogue in this movie was good, Mike. Except
it was
for
all
I
one-liners,
find that
but
unlikely.
I loved it.
None of them were good one-liners.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age freezes a dinosaur.
But like, what bothers me is there's a moment where he's pointing a gun at somebody, and you're thinking, "Oh, the perfect one-liner is just for him to go freeze." But like, chill. No, he's just like, "Chill out." It's like, what?
When someone really? walked in the lair while he was watching, like old footage from his marriage.
Oh yeah,
that was
good.
He
just free froze him and was just like. I hate it when people talk during the movie. I was like, no one-liner there?
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, he's calling out people who talk in movies, and they know who they are, and I hate them.
That was a kind of good line. We have to talk about him showing stock footage of his wife. Who filmed that? Some of that
it was a wedding.
But some of that looked very private. Like, it was him, like, putting a necklace on his wife before they were going out for the night stuff.
I thought that was the wedding.
Some of it was a wedding. Some of it was just, like, miscellaneous footage from their house that looks like it had to have been shot POV.
Hey,
but you can see them in a mirror.
He's a doctorate. He's a very smart scientist. He could have invented the GoPro at the time.
Let's talk about that.
He found cures for a disease and crap.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is a scientist in this movie. When you guys saw pre-Mr. Freeze Arnold Schwarzenegger in a lab coat and glasses, did any of you buy that?
Didn't buy that.
I saw Twins. He was very smart in Twins.
Yeah, I didn't buy it there either, though, Mike. Yeah, we're doing science now.
It's a test tube, and I'm putting something in a test tube.
Yeah, it's Arnold, the science guy. You know, like,
it looks kind of out of place. He's too big to be a guy that is just, you know, working a job, like a regular job.
It's like that gag from Always Sunny in Philadelphia when they make Dolph Lundgren a scientist in a movie they're writing. You know?
You think Arnold Schwarzenegger asked to be in the movie and they didn't cast him?
No, so he was actually cast. So the original person who was going to play Freeze in this was, I kid you not, Charles Xavier. Oh my God, Patrick Stewart.
Really?
They wanted Patrick Stewart for it. And then they cast Arnie and they rewrote the role for him. Also, while we're on the subject, originally George Clooney wasn't going to be Batman. They weren't planning on sticking with Val Kilmer because he was apparently difficult to work with in Batman Forever, but they wanted Billy Baldwin, Alec Baldwin's brother,
no.
to be Batman.
Screw you, Billy.
I could have seen it. No. Like, I could see it happening.
Arnold almost got cast as Batman.
He really
turned down on the Prime trivia. That was one thing. Like he was okay. So he was going to be the Hulk once.
Superman.
He was going to be probably. Superman. That was in Batman, but he turned down all those roles.
But you know what's weird? When you go on the IMDb and you look at the cast and crew, whose name you think should be first?
George Clooney.
George Clooney, because he's Batman. He's the main character. No, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then George Clooney.
It's the biggest name in the movie, Mike.
George Clooney is the sexiest man alive. You can't do that.
I'm not debating it, but Arnold Schwarzenegger is undeniably a bigger star.
His name was first in the opening credits too. Was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
That's
George
like
Clooney.
They don't do this based off of star profile. They do it based off of the contract they signed with the agent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the agent fought for that right. Which is kind of weird because like they do very much position this as Arnold Schwarzenegger's Batman movie almost, and then like he's in it, but like not
so
really.
You're telling me if a movie studio went up to you and said, "We want you to be in a Batman villain." You would turn it down, even if it turned out to be like this movie.
I'm not saying I would turn it down. Are you kidding me? I would do it in an instant. But I also am not. That doesn't mean it's okay. You know, like this movie is such a waste of Arnold Schwarzenegger just on like a massive level. Because what is Arnold Schwarzenegger really good at?
Steroids.
He's. He's really good. I don't drink
accents.
Milk, I drink beer. That's a real Arnold Schwarzenegger quote, by the way.
God.
No, he's really good at one-liners, comedy, and action. They gave him all of that in this movie, and none of it worked.
Like, I like the one-liners.
Again, I did too.
None of it works from like a just qualitative, like an objective level, but like you can like it still. I say all of these things don't work, but I still also say watch the movie, you know.
What did you guys think there was too much of in this movie? Because I thought not too much of, where I thought they wasted a character was in, first of all, I don't think Batgirl needed to be in this movie at all.
Yeah, no.
Toys. And they did it for toys.
And what's it call it? Uma Thurman, Poison Ivy, there was like, that was a waste. I feel like she could have been so much cooler.
She was more of a like environmentalist.
I liked Poison Ivy as a character. Like, I like Poison Ivy, the character Poison Ivy. Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy is awesome, except for one thing. Why is she British?
She's British?
She goes from, like, talking like a normal human being to, when she becomes Poison Ivy, talking in a British accent. We're gonna draw random syllables. And
she has brain damage from all the venom and poison in her body.
That's not cool, though. And plus, when she dresses up like a normal person for like this fundraiser she meets Batman at, she talks like a normal person again.
Like, why does she need a secret identity? What's the point?
Exactly.
Villains don't need that. Green. Not green. She's not supposed green. To be
That's
green.
True. She also is not green.
Wait, she needs her skin's green in the comics.
Yeah, Poison Ivy's skin is green.
Interesting.
So, it's
Bane was green though.
And you know what they missed too? Poison Ivy, she can control plants and everything.
Yeah, but
they didn't do. She only does that in her lair and nowhere else.
That's my problem. Like 90% of the movie, her one ability was the pheromone thing. And that's not even really an ability. She just kind of like, I thought she kind of just had it.
That and the poison kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which but like, that's not an attack.
I think they didn't make it like put more into her because Arnold Schwarzenegger was in it. They wanted to give Arnold Schwarzenegger, the bigger actor, more
It was
stuff.
Also that Bane was supposed to be her muscle in this movie.
That's true. Bane, that too.
Bane is literally just there, and she's like, do this, do that. And he's like,
he's a cool character, too. Yeah. And they kind of just made him the muscle. And why is he green and she's not green?
Exactly. Green.
It's weird because Bane has more in, like, he has more in common with, like, a psycho bandit from Borderlands than he does the actual Bane.
I mean, he was the backstory with him in the movie is he's a prisoner that was in prison for life, and now they forced him to be a test subject. So he was a psycho in the first place, and then they made him Bane.
That tracks with Bane.
But that's why I like this Bane better than the Christian Bale Bane, because it's like this experiment. What is it?
You mean Tom Hardy?
I'm saying Christian Bale for Batman. That Batman's Bane.
Yeah, I figured.
Okay.
But
yeah. Okay. So I like, it's like he's a science experiment, I guess, gotten right, not gone wrong. And it's like, it looks better because that in the comic books, that's what that Bane is, right? His venom is like his chemicals. Yeah, no.
This Bane looks more like the real Bane, but just because it's like the comic book doesn't mean that it's necessarily good.
I don't want a jacked up crybaby. It's like, I'm mad at the world. I was born in the darkness. Why do you guys be in the light?
Again, I think a lot of my issues with like the Christopher Nolan Bane is just the way it was everywhere when that movie came out. Like everyone talked about Bane.
Yeah, it was, and they like, always put the cover on
him. Yeah, it wore me out on the fucking character. But I like Bane, and like, even just like the little things about Bane, like in Batman Beyond, when Terry visits like a retirement home, he's like looking for Bane because he knows like there are teenagers using venom to get superpowers. Ooh. And he sees like this old decrepit man who's like super brittle, just like borderline catatonic in a chair. And it's Bane. Wow. Because like the venom caught up with him finally.
See, that's cool. I like that.
Isn't Bane supposed to be Hispanic?
Yeah, Bane is supposed to, I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be Hispanic.
Yeah.
What happened? I don't Hollywood.
Know. But like they put the mask on him because the mask he's wearing is like, you know, the wrestling, like the luchador.
Yeah, it's the Bane mask.
Yeah. But why was that the thing that they chose to put on him, to put the serum inside of him, if he wasn't, if you're not going to make that like a part of his character? He's just the muscle. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think also what bothers me about it is like, it didn't need to be. It could have been any other. Like, you could have made it like Clayface or something, and it wouldn't have changed the movie, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like, that's how you can tell that this character didn't need to be there. You already had Arnold Schwarzenegger as the muscle. Take Bane out, you know? make the movie move a little faster. Speaking of things that need to be taken out of this movie, the entire Alfred subplot just needed to go.
What a coincidence. Alfred has McGuaga syndrome? And now that means and Mr. Freeze's wife has it too, and he's looking for a cure. Oh, wait a minute. He found the cure for stage one. Which one does Alfred have? Stage one. My God, let's get that dude.
Yeah, so for everyone listening, basically, it turns out that Alfred has the same syndrome that Arnie's wife has, McGuaga syndrome.
Too easy.
And he's dying. So, like, they dedicate literally, like, a half an hour of this thing. It's a two-hour-long movie. They dedicate a chunk of it to Alfred trying to cure his disease, trying to record a will for everybody to basically find later. Mm-hmm. It didn't need to be there. It added, I guess, like, if you, the reason they probably tried to put it there was to add some, like, pathos to the movies, some dramatic weight.
Yeah.
But, like, Warner Brothers very deliberately released Tim Burton from the Batman franchise because he was trying to put pathos in it. You know, they literally fired him for something, and then they tried to do it without him.
Is there anything that Warner Brothers has done right?
They do happen to own a lot of the biggest IPs. But they just don't know what
they screwed up with Prince. They screwed up with Batman. They screwed up with Tim Burton.
The problem is it's like that common too big to fail mentality where it's like, this is so big. We can't let this fail. We have to micromanage it and then inadvertently make it fail. You know, it's the same thing that happened with Justice League where they let Zack Snyder go and then they micromanaged the movie into the dirt. You know, at a certain point, just let a filmmaker make a film.
I was thinking that the reason that they did this whole Alfred thing was to justify Batgirl, his niece being
that
there.
Too.
But it would have probably meant more, at least to me, if she wasn't ever Batgirl. Like she came there because her uncle was actually sick and, you know, whatever. But why? She could have not been Batgirl. Like, she could have just been his niece, and that would have meant more to me.
She could have been, like, the real Batgirl from the comics and not be related to Alfred at all. Because in the comics, Batgirl is Commissioner Gordon's daughter.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, and that's, like, a much more interesting... We've known Commissioner Gordon since also, the first movie.
But and this Commissioner Gordon in this movie is just a pain in the butt. It's
old-ass man, doesn't do shit.
Exactly.
They fucked him up too.
Well, it's kind of like how they fucked over Billy. Yeah, Billy D in the Tim Burton movies, because Billy D played Harvey Dent in the first two Batmans. You know, yeah, they got Lando Calrissian to play Harvey Dent, and then in the third movie they recast him with Tommy Lee Jones when he finally gets to be Two-Face.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be so cool to see Tommy D do that.
Yeah. No, not Tommy Lee. You mean Billy D.
Billy D. I said Tommy D, but it's like I mixed Tommy Lee Jones and Billy D.
Yeah, just imagine like Warner Brothers.
Together.
Tommy I would have called him Lando the entire time. Yeah. There's Lando. It's Two-Face.
Just imagine Two-Face walking around like, ha, ha, Han Solo. Because that's how he says it. He doesn't say Han Solo. He calls him Han.
I'll give him that Tommy Lee Jones did it good with Two-Face also. It matched. He kind of was matching Jim Carrey's energy.
I loved Tommy Lee Jones because, yeah, he really paired well with Jim Carrey. But we're not talking about that one.
Yeah, no. But also, since we're talking about Alfred's scenes, he was making his will. His niece was trying to log into his computer. This geriatric old man can't make a password to save his life. All right? She's like, oh, I got to try his password. Doesn't work. And you think these computers with, you know, the bad info on it, would it be like three tries you're out, that's it?
Or yeah, like one try. Have more security.
Yeah, not, And the password was his sister's nickname that he had that was Peg. The password was
but
Peg.
But he had the password right next to the computer. That's what I loved. He literally had a picture of his like sister with the word love Peg.
It's like your grandparents. It sounds like your grandparents. Or something.
Well, it's like
that.
When you're, I don't know, when you guys were a kid, did your parents write passwords down on scrap paper and put it like under the keyboard and shit?
Only the Wi-Fi password.
Yeah.
Only the Wi-Fi password.
Exactly. But well, that's, you know, that's what I remember from like my friend's houses growing up and my house. We just had it under the, like, what's the password to net zero?
Yeah.
You pick up the keyboard and fucking there it
what's
is.
A keyboard?
You guys laughed at that part, but the part that I thought was just fucking ridiculous and funny was that her first attempt at the password was just Alfred. Like, yes. What? This is a super secret, you know, there's so much family secrets on there.
Well, what would you have put in first, Raekwon? I love chocolate 69.
Big baller 23.
Yeah. Big British crumpets with a Z. But also when she logs in,
you'd think it'd be more secure. No, just Batman and Robin will come flying in. It's like, oh, I wonder whose computer this is. You'd think they'd leave all the Batman stuff in their cave and, you know, Alfred's porn stash in that area. Yeah, but no, yeah. That part infuriated me.
Well, this movie like takes so many like logic leaps like that, where it's just like it literally has the plot of a cartoon, which is what they were going for. Again, they were trying to dumb the series down. They were trying to get more mass appeal. Mm. But like, at what cost? My God. You know?
Yeah,
also, No, Alfred, while we're talking about Alfred, when he dies, because Alfred does die, you find out that he created a virtual reality version of himself.
He became Max Headroom.
He became Max Headroom, and he was literally just like moving around like, Cyborg boy, a Batarang?
Hello, Batgirl. I knew you would come down. My name is Batgirl now.
Isn't it?
Do you remember what her name was actually?
Batgirl.
Yeah, it's only Batgirl. I don't remember her name.
Isn't it weird, Batgirl? I made you a weirdly sexualized batsuit.
Oh, big head of Batman screen.
Like, that's weird. Alfred made a weirdly sexual batsuit for his niece.
How'd you get the cup size right?
Yeah, well, I'm talking about that. And also, yeah, how did he make it her exact... Did he take measurements while she was asleep or something?
She's a
like
36D, you know...
Was yeah, the last thing he did before he died.
The last thing he like, did before he died was like perv out over the figure of his niece to make a perfect bat suit for her.
Oh, so you know what he is to her? He's creepy Uncle Alfred.
He's creepy Uncle Alfred.
That's why she never visits, because he's creepy Uncle Alfred. Now my pet, all three, Batman, Robin, and Batgirl, all the parents are dead. Robin's whole family's dead. Batman's whole family's dead.
Oh my god,
Alfred.
It was Alfred all along. He killed everybody.
Alfred killed everyone. He's
you
like
guys
the
remember
mysterious.
How she told him that her parents died?
Didn't they die in a car accident?
No, they were literally, it was Batman and, not Batman, Batgirl.
Wait, didn't
and
the
Robin.
Winter Soldier kill them?
Knew it. Damn it.
It's Alfred and Batman fighting and Batgirl's angry. And Batman's like, you can't kill. That's against our code as bat people.
We are bad people.
And Batgirl's like, I don't care. He killed my mom.
I was a boy. Now I'm a bat.
Robin was literally just like asking her a question. This was after the big race thing. And
oh, yeah, the weird Mad Max race scene that we need to talk about.
Yeah, what was that? But Gotham, that I thought that was weird, but I was like, a lot of weird shit does happen in Gotham. But
dude,
after it,
fucking Gotham looks like what like a 90s rave would look like.
Yeah.
Does Gotham ever look nice? No, it never does.
Well, it's always night in Gotham. That's the other thing.
It's the Detroit of that world.
I thought it was supposed to be Chicago.
Or Chicago. One of the two is bad.
I thought it was supposed to be Detroit, but like, you know, obviously a million times worse. But I thought it was supposed to be
Metropolis. It's Detroit without RoboCop.
Yo, Robin was like, so how long have you been racing? And she's like, since my parents died. And I was like, whoa.
Someone's lashing out a bit there.
I was like, yeesh. Yeah. They just kept talking. I was like, damn, I would have been like, wow, we're already talking about that.
How'd her parents die?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you said you knew.
No, I was saying, do you guys remember how she told him that her parents died? Literally just like, oh, yeah, I've been doing this shit since my parents died.
Hey, my parents are dead, too. You know, Bruce's parents are dead, too. Whoa, we have much in common.
Let's start like a Bat People Anonymous Club.
What?
Let's start a Bat Person Anonymous Club, like for the three of us. It's just the three of them. There's like shitty stale coffee and donuts on the side. Batman stands up. Hi, I'm Batman.
Hi, Batman.
I've been bad. Just several, like every different person who's been a Batman or a Robin over the years.
No, I just imagine Batman. It. I imagine it's Batman and it's just a room full of mirrors. So it just cuts to a mirror of him waving, "Hi, Batman."
That's a good sketch, though, Nick. We should write that. Where it's a Batman support group with all the different Batman and women and Robin.
That's pretty funny. It should be all the people who've played Batman before, like, "Hi, Batman. Hi, Batman. Hi, Batman. Hi, Batman."
And then it's the 40s Batman. Well, diddly dog, Batman.
It's Adam West as Batman.
No, it's 60s Batman. What about the 40s Batman?
No, I mean, I meant 60s Batman, where he's like talking and like, he's like, "My parents died and I fight crime in their memory to make sure nobody else suffers." And then Adam West is just like, "Hey, chum, it's okay." You
know? I was imagining like he was going deep, like, "My parents are dead. They died from a gun guy." And you see Adam West in the background just doing his dance, the bat dance in the background.
We should taking it seriously. Absolutely do not the 60s Batman necessarily, although I would be down for that. Yeah. We should do the Adam West and Burt Ward movie, Burt and Adam Return to the Batcave. Have you guys heard of that?
No.
It's from like the mid-2000s. It's basically Adam West and Burt Ward are friends. And someone has stolen the 60s Batmobile and they're going on an adventure to find out who stole it. And it turns out to like always, it makes them run into people who've played villains in the 60s show. So like they run into 60s Catwoman or 60s Riddler. Burt Ward. What's up?
What about Mick?
Which one? No, he's not in. He's dead already.
Oh, okay.
But like they run into like all these people and it intercuts with like the history of the Batman TV show. It's a really funny movie. I mean, it's cute. It's not good.
I want to see that. I saw a while ago, probably a few years now, the Adam West documentary. Do you remember that? Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
It really was like about Batman. And
the 60s Batman is awesome. Like,
sometimes you just can't get rid of a bomb.
That's one of my favorite quotes. Like, and that's kind of what this movie touches on. Like, structurally, they really do the 60s Batman thing where he has something for every situation and it's called the bat insert. Utility, yeah. You know, the bat shark repellent, you know, the bat bomb defusal kit, the bat credit card.
There you go.
In this movie, there's a bat credit card. And it says, "Did you notice the bat credit card's expiration date said forever in the font Batman from Batman Forever?"
Yeah. I went back. I rewinded when he pulled out that card and paused it because I wanted to see if it was like a Bank of America card or something.
A Visa
like
card or some shit. Yeah,
like, nah, this product placement is so fucking trash. They're just like, don't leave home without it.
Never leave home without it. Oh, Will Arnett. That's another Batman for the support group.
Yeah. He's a good Batman. The Lego Batman. Yeah,
Will Arnett is actually a great Batman.
That was a good Batman. I'll give it. Like a bat spaceship.
While we're on the subject of like DC heroes and credit cards, I do have to bring up one of my favorite commercials. I think it's a Bank of America card commercial. It's from like the late 90s. It's Jerry Seinfeld and Superman walking around Metropolis being friends. And Jerry's talking to Superman like it's an episode of Seinfeld, and Superman keeps flying off to help people. And then there's like a long line at a restaurant or something, and Superman's like, "This looks like a job for Superman." And he's like, I don't have my credit card. I'm powerless." And Jerry Seinfeld's like, "I got this." And he just pulls a credit card out.
That sounds funny.
It's a classic commercial.
But Superman doesn't have pockets.
That's the joke. It's that, you know.
Oh, boom, right over my head.
Yeah, it did. It went over your
while
head.
While you were telling that joke, I realized that looking past that, the other heroes are in the universe too. But just like Superman himself. Superman doesn't save everyone. They never make that clear. He doesn't save everyone. There are people still dying. He only saves people in the United States too. People in third world countries, he doesn't bring anything to them.
He does in the comic, in Man of Steel or Batman, in one of those, there's like a montage of Superman helping people across the world.
Once.
I mean, you could bring up the argument, why does Superman stop being Superman so that he can be Clark Kent? Wouldn't he do more good by being Superman 24/7? Well, although they actually explain it.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, would you want to be in one mode the entire time? Like, would you want to be in work mode the entire time and not have a relaxing time to yourself? Sit down, drink some alcohol, watch that 70s show, you know, relax. Well,
no, but the point, that's not why Superman does it. He actually, he did think about being Superman full time, but he doesn't want to be because being Clark Kent allows him to relate to people, which gives, it basically aligns his moral compass.
Makes him more human.
Yeah.
If he was Superman 24/7, Clark Kent, who he didn't become Superman, you know, since being in on Earth.
Exactly.
If he did that, Clark, what happens to Clark Kent?
He's dead.
He's just dead. Disappears. That's like when Superman died in the comic books. The explanation was that Clark Kent had died in the battle, like in the rubble of Doomsday's battle.
Mm-hmm. And then
when,
in the movie,
when Superman comes back to life, they explain it by going Clark Kent was buried underground for the period that Superman was dead, and he was surviving until someone found and rescued him.
Oh my God! Did they do that in the new Batman?
They didn't get that because they basically just end Justice League with Superman walking out of a phone booth as Clark Kent, I think, or something.
I'm not Clark Kent. I'm Kent Clark. I'm someone new.
That's a whole conversation. Everyone always brings up, how do you know Superman? How does nobody realize it's Superman? It's glasses. He wears glasses. Well, but like at least like Christopher Reeves, he did a really good job differentiating the characters, and it all came down to the shoulders. When he was playing Clark Kent, slouches.
Oh,
when he's Superman, straight back, you know, the body posture, Superman. It does a lot. It actually does help you tell who's who, which is, it's just fun trivia.
I guess he's also good at like hiding himself and playing shy, at least in the other three Supermans, the Christopher Reeves Batmans.
Yeah. I mean,
but Batman, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell who's Batman. I mean,
it's a cowl.
How does people not know who Batman is either? That's a good point, because he has all this high tech, fancy equipment. Who is the richest person in Gotham? Who's friggin' Wayne? Who else is gonna buy it? Either at he's least, funding Batman or he is Batman.
Yeah, they could at least do like what they did in the Iron Man comic books, where Iron Man, like Tony Stark, claimed that Iron Man was his bodyguard for the longest time. That was literally the cover up, you know. But like, yeah, they're just like, nobody, you're right, nobody draws the parallel that Batman is Bruce Wayne, and it's so painfully obvious.
And Batman has it good, because even though he's the Batman, bats come out at night, he does this thing at night, that way people are like, where's Bruce Wayne? He's never there when Batman's here. I mean, it's night, Bruce Wayne's asleep. He's gonna want to sleep. He's a busy man.
Superman, he gives himself a pretty decent alibi.
Yeah, not Superman, idiot.
Yeah.
The Flash is just, and you can't see him.
He just farts Wonder Woman a lot. Just, that's what I got from that.
Wonder Woman is just Wonder Woman. She doesn't have to hide her appearance, and she's proud of who she is. That's great for her.
Well, isn't Wonder Woman's cover, she's like a museum curator?
That's
or something?
Right. She does have a cover. Never mind. What the hell?
Yeah,
she doesn't hide her face.
She does, but like she doesn't have to. Does she? She's Wonder Woman, but like I feel like in the cartoon or something, like she didn't really have a secret identity. She was just Wonder Woman.
I don't think people just pay attention to her.
I don't think so either. I think it's just patriarchy is her secret identity.
Oh,
like nobody pays attention to her, and she's just like, I'm gonna fucking kill all of you one day for this shit.
I guess it's working out.
I have had it. Just wait until Patty Jenkins makes Wonder Woman 3 The Revenge.
I love this one, this series, this new Wonder Woman.
I'm really excited for the new Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot. All right. She is a great Wonder Woman.
Yes.
And I love how they did with her. The previous Wonder Womans were obviously flawed. But we did one, didn't we? Didn't we do an episode?
We did the David E. Kelly Wonder Woman TV pilot. The guy who made Ally McBeal did a Wonder Woman pilot in 2010.
It's bad. But they always portrayed Wonder Woman this like patriarchal, like, short skirt, like barely anything, like, just because even though she's a superhero, she has to pay this stereotype. But in this Wonder Woman does it better.
This Wonder Woman's like an actual character, and I love it.
Yeah, there's character to it, and it's
we saw Wonder Woman together. I don't think if you remember that.
I do.
But like, yeah, we saw that together, and like I just remembered really liking it.
I didn't like what the new Wonder Woman for one reason: the villain. The old guy, you tell me the god of war can't shapeshift?
Oh, yeah.
It had to be British dude.
Yeah, that was weak.
But what? It's him in his big bulky armor with a old British mustache. I hated that.
Honestly, I'm also just pissed that they killed him. I wish the movie ended with him getting away. They've saved the day and stopped World War I from continuing. But like,
that's true. She killed the god of war and stopped World War I. But then what explains World War II?
Yeah.
Man, the movie Justice League, that really
I'm hitting my head on the wall right now.
It really like messed up the universe. Like I feel like they could DC films could have kind of caught up to Marvel with the new wave of movies that would have come after Justice League.
I don't even think it needed to catch up to Marvel. I think it just needed to be its own thing. Where like everyone talks about how the DC extended universe was way too serious and it was gritty. That's why I liked those movies. Like Man of Steel. I love Man of Steel.
Me too.
Genuinely think it's a fantastic movie. The only thing I would do to it is I would increase the brightness and the saturation of the color by like 50% across the board. Because that is a very pale, dark movie. When I watch that movie, I have to turn off every light in my house and turn up the brightness on my TV.
You know what they did good? It's a Superman movie, I guess Superman movie, but not, I guess, officially, is the one where he's a kid, but he's killing everyone.
Brightburn.
Yeah,
I saw that.
That was a good concept. I like it. I like a horror movie.
But that's
movie.
Not a Superman movie, Mike.
But it's you're basically implying that kid is Superman.
Okay? Yes, they do imply it. You're right. But
very
like,
hard. They imply it very...
We're talking... I mean, shy of them calling it Superman. But
and
like,
that's cool.
We're talking about DC movies. Like, Man of Steel? Awesome. Batman v Superman? Probably but should have been a third movie. Like, there should have been Man of Steel 2 at some point. Or a Batman movie. But Batman v Superman, I didn't like it the first time I saw it. I saw the extended cut with Thera several years ago on Thanksgiving, and I fucking loved it. Wonder Woman, awesome. Suicide Squad, one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever seen, but whatever.
Some kind of Suicide Squad. They're making a second one. Oh, they made a second one, right? No,
they're making a second one with James Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy doing it. So I have hopes for it, but like I also don't care for Suicide Squad. The last time I saw it, I was at a dive bar with Thera and her friends last summer, and it was playing on the TV in the background, and that's the most I'll ever enjoy it.
Suicide Squad reminds me of the X-Force from Deadpool 2. They should have just all died.
Basically.
But what about Aquaman?
I didn't see Aquaman yet, but I heard it was fine.
It was okay. They try to make him cool with the one-liners. Like when he goes in the submarine in the beginning, he goes, permission to come aboard. I'm like, I want to strangle you now.
Yeah.
Can't do this.
What else was there? Shazam was fucking awesome.
I like Shazam.
That was great. That was really good.
Genuinely, surprisingly good.
I can't wait for the second one.
Yeah. Justice League. People don't like it. Thera and I watched it and I liked it. It was like, I didn't like it. I like it in the same way I like Batman and Robin, I guess. Where I was like, this is fine. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that bad. I am really psyched about the fact that, like, we're getting this new version of it. Mm-hmm. So,
not a cut.
I think,
for the record, I think that sets a really dangerous precedent in Hollywood, and I don't want this to become the norm, but, like, I'm happy it worked out this time.
I am kind of upset, though. Growing up, I didn't watch the cartoon Batmans because I associated cartoons as a less serious form of entertainment. Like, it was supposed to be goofy, and you think of like Tom and Jerry or Animaniacs, something like that. I didn't think that would be like, oh, it's more of an adulty kind of cartoon. That's what they did it to. And I did have the DVDs for them, but I always liked the live action because I thought they were more actiony, more intense, and not. Like, I thought the cartoons would just dance around it and make them all...
What I will say
now
to you,
watching
Mike,
it, I'm like, amazing.
What you need to do, and we could do this on the podcast. We're doing a Nickelodeon month next month, so we might do this in August if we do. Batman the Animated Series, Mask of Phantasm. Holy shit. It might be the best Batman movie by a lot. Like, it is that fucking good.
Should we do a superhero like month?
We could do a superhero
month. DC superhero month and a Marvel's. No, there's no.
Just do obscure Marvel's. Superhero month.
Because if we just do superhero, I have so many like suggestions because we're talking about DC right now, but I grew up on the Spider-Man cartoon, The Amazing Spider-Man.
You and I were talking X-Men. About that.
It's on Disney Plus, bro.
I know, dude. I rewatched it when I had Disney Plus.
It's so good. Like, it's so good.
It's so good. It's nowhere near as good as like what DC was doing with like Batman at the time, but that's not to say it wasn't amazing in its own right.
I loved X-Men.
Yeah, the X-Men cartoon is iconic. You and I still need to like sit down and play the Sega Genesis games.
Word, yeah.
But Let's tie it back into the bat. It's simple. We kill the Batman.
And they don't. So, well, let's see. So we got Poison Ivy, who's jealous of the Mr. Freeze's wife. I found out Batgirl's name is Barbara.
Okay, so it is like Barbara Gordon, but it's
Barbara Alfred.
Alfred in this.
What's your last name?
I don't know. Someone Barbara Batgirl. I don't know. Nick Barbara was right. Batgirl.
There's a Mad Max race that we need to talk about.
You want to talk about the Batgirl? The Mad Max race?
Yes, I do. I think we have to. Guys, can we talk about the Mad Max race? Halfway through this movie, Barbara steals Dick's motorcycle. So that, because it's Dick Grayson. Steals Dick Grayson's motorcycle to participate in this weird Mad Maxian street race through what looks like, again, like the bad side of like a tube of ecstasy at a European rave. And it's just weird. It's a motorcycle race. People are kicking each other off of dirt bikes. It's basically Mad Max meets Road Fury for the Sega Genesis, where it's just like a bunch of dudes in leather, and there's just a lot of leather. You could really hear Joel Schumacher, rest in peace, being like, we need more leather in this. Mm-hmm. How can we get more leather in this movie?
More leather.
Bring me a cow. I wish to skin him and turn it into leather. Joel, are you okay? Leather. But yeah, that entire scene, like, were you guys taking it? I got up during the race. Personally, I got up to, like, I think to do some dishes or something. And
I was folding laundry while I was watching this. And that scene happened. I was like, really, I was watching for a majority of it, but for that scene, I was folding laundry. I didn't write anything down for that other than like when Dick catches her when they fall off of the cliff or whatever.
Oh yeah, he like does a split.
Bullshit. he catches her, but like he's hanging on from like, I don't know, this random pipe, and
with his foot.
Hey, he's not that fucking strong.
Yeah, he is. Because remember, in the previous one, he was an acrobat.
But he can do he's
that's
holding
actually,
on to
wow,
this
that's
person.
A great point. No, because it is because he is an acrobat from a circus. So he does have the weird strength to do that kind of stuff.
Dude, it was 1 foot. Like, I was like,
no,
damn.
He does
it's
like a split.
Like he held on to to something.
Because what happens is he starts with 1 foot and then he throws the other one onto another pipe. So like, I'll give Mike has officially like given them props there, but can we just agree the scene was there to sell toys specifically?
This whole movie was a toy selling movie. Yeah.
Again, the climax of this movie is Batman, Batgirl, and Robin racing to stop Mr. Freeze after they've stopped Poison Ivy. And when I say racing to stop Mr. Freeze, I mean they go all the way back to the Batcave. They all get three different bat suits that are their normal bat suits with white trims on it, which means they had to fabricate it. They were like, we're going into a winter wonderland. We got to color coordinate people. And they just like, they get the fucking shit fabricated. I don't know. Maybe Batman like Siri's that shit on the way over. He's like, Siri, start making me three more bat suits.
Why does Batgirl have a new suit though? Because
she just said
he made her one suit.
Her suit is different. It's actually because hers has a cowl. When she gets like the original bat suit she wears has like a Robin mask and her hair. Mm-hmm. And then when she gets a new bat suit, she actually has a Batman cowl.
Nice.
What? That's what I'm saying. Like, did Alfred also think to make her this like white trim bat suit?
You never know. It could be good for the winter, Barbara. Like,
I think her last name is Pennyworth because Alfred's last name is Pennyworth.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying to remember what his
name was. Barbara Pennyworth.
That's just so British.
It's funny that like, her uncle's British and she's not.
Yeah, she's like super American. But that's happening. Not only that, they also go to get bat sleds. Like, he gets a Batmobile that's a sled. Robin gets a bat motorcycle.
Yeah, a bat sled.
I don't know what Barbara gets, but
bat sled. There's two bat sleds in the beginning. Remember when they escape from Mr. Freeze's like spaceship? And they use the doors to surf in the air.
Oh,
what
no.
What the fuck was that? What?
I called that the Metal Harbor level from Sonic Adventure 2 when Sonic grabs a rocket and breaks a piece off as a snowboard.
Hey, the CGI for that part didn't look that bad.
It looked good. But
bad.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Like, there's no way. Like, there's, like, it's impossible for that to happen.
Gotta hate.
They had like suction cups on their feet, or like, no, he just.
I mean, if it's going, if they face it straight down, yeah, I guess you can balance yourself on it. But
Raekwon, no, you're thinking, like surfing, though.
Raekwon, you're thinking about normal surfboards and normal snowboards and normal suction cups.
Surfboards.
They're bat surfboards, bat snowboards, and bat suction cups.
Even if they weren't the bat stuff yet, as soon as Batman touches it, they're the bat stuff.
Yeah, like they were just regular doors before.
You just hear the Transformers sound play, like, and then it just turns into a Batman
themed sled. My
question is,
why did Mr. Freeze's rocket have three escape latches? Just in case one didn't work?
It just cuts to Arnold Schwarzenegger in the rocket, like, beating his head, like, I like to have options.
Mr. Freeze already proved the point that he could freeze anything and then break it open because of that.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't even need an escape hatch. Didn't he just like freeze a chunk of wall and punch through it?
No, he had an actual escape hatch.
Okay.
And he had his freeze wings.
That's right. When he freezes the wall and punches through it, that's when he's in prison.
Yep. He's like, no, he freezes the pipes. He's like, this is why you winterize your pipes. I'm like, thank you for the homeowner guide.
Yeah, like thanks for the advice.
I mean, we got to do that here. I'm like, today I get this. Why the hell do I have to get that now? I think there's an issue if I'm getting the freezing pipes joke.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just this whole movie, guys, is nuts. He's right. I also got to bring up the audio quality. Thera made a very good point when we were watching this. There's a lot of dubbing in this movie, and there's a lot of very blown out audio.
Mm-hmm. The blown out audio, yes. I didn't notice any dubbing, though.
The dubbing was very obvious to Thera, and when she said it, I noticed it. I think it's a weird thing, Mike, where I've had you do ADR with me enough over the years that like our brains might recognize ADR, but we don't recognize it.
Yeah.
Because like we've done it, so we're just going to give it a pass, like subconsciously.
Got some trivia for you, some dubbing trivia.
Okay.
When Barbara comes to the house for the first time, and she's still wearing her like school jacket or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce asks her, you know, if she goes to this school, and you can see it in the movie. She reacts to him saying it before he says it. Like she turns to him to be like, yeah, whatever. But like, she hasn't asked a question yet.
Yeah.
that was one of like the goofs in the movie.
That's a very big goof. I want to bring up, and then I guess we should bring in like closing points for the movie because we're starting to get a little bit to that point. Mm-hmm. When Barbara shows up and she's talking to Robin, and Robin's in the, do you guys love that because she's on like a raised platform and technically looking down into the house, it looks like Robin is like 3 feet tall and Barbara is like 5'4" or something. Because he like opens the door and he's like, hey, who are you? And she's like looking
please
down
be looking like, for no he's like please be looking for me.
Yeah. It was so weird. It like the perspective just felt really off.
Wayne Manor doesn't have really good security. People could just walk up randomly.
Well, that's the premise of Batman Beyond. It's Terry accidentally found the Batcave and stole the bat suit.
Wait, I thought Batman Beyond was like,
well, I'm going to take that out on your side because in case people care about spoilers. No, the premise of Batman Beyond is that Terry is a youth whose dad is killed by this corrupt person at Wayne Enterprises, and he meets a retired Batman and steals the bat suit to get revenge for his father's death. And then Bruce Wayne recognizes the latent, almost natural talent this person has for being Batman. And then he agrees to help him be the new Batman because Bruce Wayne is too old to be Batman.
Cool. But there was a hiatus between the Batman, new Batman, and
there was like a
Batman.
20-year period, probably. Okay. Because like the beginning of Batman Beyond is literally like a 60-year-old Bruce Wayne having a heart attack while he's trying to rescue somebody from a hostage situation, and the only way he can save everybody is by grabbing a gun and pointing it at a criminal. Oof. And then after like he takes medicine for the heart attack, he notices that he's holding a gun and he freaks out and quits being Batman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Deep, wow. Right?
That's and that's like in the first 10 minutes of this show.
I watch Batman Beyond now.
It's really good.
It's my favorite take on Batman, I think.
And there's a new Joker in it, right?
Yeah, so there's a gang called the Jokers that like worships the Joker. And then the Joker's just in it in the movie.
You find out
it's Mark Hamill. You find out that basically the Joker had died, but he found a way to come back.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Mark Hamill, we're allowed.
Well, but like, I'm not going to spoil it, but the way he comes back is like pure mind games.
Damn it.
It's awesome.
Which Batman?
That's, I mean, you just said how the Joker came back.
All right, cut me out then. I'm not going to say that. All right.
No, it's yeah, whatever. We'll figure it out.
I'm not, no, take it out. I'm spoiling it. And I'm realizing I'm spoiling it.
Okay. I'll just put a censored block there and I'll.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, closing thoughts, Batman and Robin, y'all.
One thing, well, I didn't hate this movie. The one thing I wrote down in the very beginning was that I don't remember it being this cheesy, but I'm into it. You know, it's cheesy, but it is what it is. Like, once you accept that it's going to be, you know, a cheesy movie, it's fine. I did enjoy some of it. There were a lot that I didn't like, but that's because I enjoyed superhero movies and stuff. But one thing that I thought was really cool that Alfred said was about when his parents died, he was like, oh yeah, you really are, you know, selfish and it's my way, the highway. It's like, what is Batman if not a symbol for someone trying to defeat death or fight death? And you've been trying to fight death ever since your parents died. I was like, that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, that was pretty great. I do really like that. And I guess my sentiment on the movie is like more or less identical to yours. I like the movie. It's not for the right reasons, but I do like it. Look, any movie that can literally use global warming to stop the villain is just like immediately worth a glance, because like, how often can you say Batman heated up the earth and that saved the day?
Yeah.
You know, also, I just want to say, when Batman was heating up Gotham after Freeze had successfully frozen a lot of it, the one thing that just played in my mind was the clip from Spaceballs when they're using the vacuum cleaner and they're sucking up the air. Suck, 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 suck.
Freeze, freeze, or thaw.
Thaw. Coincidentally, that's what Mike says with two forks in his hand, face against the microwave, when he's heating up leftovers.
I did heat up a pizza today.
And you did exactly that. You had your face on the microwave, like, thaw, thaw, thaw.
Now I gotta do it. Dang it.
You need to send me a video of you just doing that.
That would be a cool shirt. Well,
yeah. Just like a blood crazed mic with two forks. They're two pitchforks and it's a dead boar on like
I should be holding two spoons just to make it like, what the hell is he eating?
It's a lot of soup.
A lot of soup. But my take on the movie is, I like it because I grew up on it. I grew up on this Batman, Tim Burton's Batman.
I had toys for this movie as a kid. They made a stupid number of toys. Like, this generation, you knew they would.
This generation of Batman, I liked. And whether it had the cheesy one-liners or the way the villains were, I really liked it. I don't like, I mean, The Dark Knight and Batfleck.
Batfleck.
Batfleck. I'm confusing him with the Affleck duck. They're good. Great. I like the. It's the Batfleck.
Just like, can you imagine, you know, in the cartoon, the silhouette of Batman in the intro? It's that with the Danny Elfman theme. Do, 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 do. And it's just a goose going, Batfleck!
That's a shirt right there.
Yeah, that's the new Untitled Goose Game DLC.
But I like Christopher Nolan's and Ben Affleck's. Those were nice. I like the idea of them being dark, gritty, like he's hiding in the shadows kind of thing, more mysterious. But Christian Bale's, meh. I like Ben Affleck's over the Christian Bale's.
You strike me as someone who's just like, you like the silly side of Batman, and it makes sense because you're a silly guy. You like the silly Batman. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. Like, not everybody. What I like about Batman is there is literally a Batman for everybody. If you want a gritty Batman, read The Killing Joke, read The Dark Knight, you know, like, do all of this. If you want something silly, watch the 60s Batman, watch Batman and Robin, watch Batman the Brave and the Bold, you know, which that's an awesome cartoon.
My reasoning is, if people are like defending Christian Bale's Batman, you can't say you like the Batman because of the Joker. That cannot be your reason. You like the Joker, you don't like the movie. Okay.
Movie because the Joker was in it.
Yeah, like, I like the Joker. Yeah, the Joker part, the Joker in that movie was good. The Batman part of the movie, meh. I like the Joker scenes. They were more real. Mm-hmm. I think they should make a rated R Batman movie and see how that goes.
That's what they're doing, I think, with this latest one. They're trying to do like.
And hopefully they do it right. Because when you make it, just because it's rated R, it's like a tightrope you have to walk.
Yeah, Batman doesn't kill people. So the rated R is going to do less than you think it is.
That's why like the villains have to make that rated R part.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it more realistic because Batman's a more human character. So the people should be able to relate more to this movie. Mm-hmm. Deadpool was rated R. They did good, but that was like a comedy anti-hero thing.
Yeah.
Wolverine is a Logan. Sorry, Logan was a great rated R superhero movie. That did perfect. It was more realistic, more relatable because it's a superhero movie still.
When you say relatable, I think what you mean is grounded. Like,
thank you. You're the film
very
guy.
Much. You look at it and you're like, this isn't that far from like reality.
It's more raw. Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. Thank you. You're the film guy. You put the words in my mouth.
Well, it's funny because like with Logan. Besides the fact that I think Logan's my favorite X-Men movie, I'm not like a huge X-Men fan. I like the cartoon from the 90s, and I like Logan. I know, I'm sorry, Raekwon. We can't be friends anymore. I'll stand outside your window with a boombox playing Todd Rundgren's Can We Still Be Friends?
Play the X-Men theme.
It's just the music from the menu to the Sega Genesis game we still need to play. And then, Mike, I'll do the same thing to you, but with the Super Nintendo game Maximum Carnage for Spider-Man.
So you think superhero movies should be more grounded today?
I think yes and no. I like both kinds of movies. Why not have both? Not everything has to fit the Marvel mold. And that's what I was getting at when I was talking about the DCEU. I liked that they were trying to be different. Believe it or not, I don't think we have a superhero movie problem. I don't think there's something wrong with making a lot of superhero movies. I think the problem is that they're all the same fucking movie.
That's the problem, yeah.
You know? So when they, and you see this in other genres, like without getting too pretentious, because I know we're wrapping things up, the Western genre did the same exact thing that superhero movies are doing now, where they're everywhere and they're all the same. But do you know what happened and what gave, you know, these Western movies like another decade of relevance? They started doing different kinds of movies. You know, they made spaghetti Westerns. They made like comedies. They played with the genre. Blazing Saddles is a Western, but it's not like a Western.
And it's harder today, I would say, because we're in the era of remakes.
Well, we're in the era of remakes, but more than that, we're in the era of studios understanding that basically this is my take on it. There's a macro trend in Hollywood where there's no mid-budget movies. It's very rare that you see a movie that costs $50 to $80 million. It's usually, okay, your movie costs $20 million or less, or it costs $100 million or more. And the problem that falls there is maybe those numbers, like, don't take those numbers verbatim. There's probably some wiggle room there, right? Mm-hmm. But the problem is those movies that cost less than $20 million have to be very creative, and they can't always tell the stories they want to tell.
And
but
you know
movies
what?
That cost $100 million, that's a lot of money to waste on a movie that might not work. So the reason why tentpole movies and blockbusters are all the same is because it's been proven to work.
Would you consider Logan a medium budget movie? Because it says
for
the budget
a superhero
for that.
Movie, Logan was low fucking budget. Like,
it was pretty simple, yeah.
Hugh Jackman took a huge pay cut to make that movie rated R. And to do Deadpool is another case where I think it only cost like $60 million.
Yeah, wow. Deadpool was trying to get made, or they're trying to get that made for years before.
For like a decade almost.
Yeah, I think they just accepted that they weren't going to have a budget.
I think they originally made it PG-13 and people got pissed and then they changed it back.
So they wanted to make it PG-13, but like a big part of why Deadpool and Logan got made as rated R films is because they agreed to do it for like little to no money, subjectively.
Actors that really want to make it happen.
Yeah, so they did it because they really wanted to tell these stories and they knew that if they took a bigger budget, they wouldn't be allowed to. You know, look at X-Men Origins Wolverine. That was a huge tentpole movie that fell on its face because it cost a lot of money to make, which made Fox a little skittish about like, okay, you want to do something different. I hear you, but can we not and pretend we are?
That game was good though.
The game was fan. The game was better than my favorite Mega 64 sketch. Is that someone said he went to go watch Wolverine and he thought it was awesome, and it turns out he just watched a playthrough at a movie theater of the game.
That's our closing thoughts.
That's our closing thoughts. The closing thoughts are: support mid-budget movies, beg for them to come back. Also, don't go to AMC. Fuck those guys.
Oh, I want to add a little trivia thing I read on IMDb. It turns out like George Clooney was known to give people refunds who watched the movie.
Yeah. He vowed to never play Batman again, given the disaster of this film. So that kind of has to hurt. Although at the same time, he was in movie 43. So it's not like he got much better at picking movies. Anyway, that's our episode today, guys. We do hope you enjoyed it. We got a really interesting month ahead for you. It's Nickelodeon month.
Yes.
So if you have like a Nickelodeon property or anything that you wish for us to watch, you know, you can just send that over to us on Twitter or Instagram. You can also send us a normal recommendation, because we do actually take those. And next week's episode, we're going to be doing a episode of Ren and Stimpy. Haven't figured out what episode yet. Oh. But Ren and Stimpy is like, I know you like it, Mike. Raekwon, I don't know if you're a Ren and Stimpy guy.
I love Ren and Stimpy.
There you go. I love Ren and Stimpy. Thera is the biggest Ren and Stimpy fan I've ever fucking met. Like, I wish that was a joke. She is genuinely the biggest Ren and Stimpy fan. She just pokes her head through the corner. And yeah, it'll be a Thera episode. So you want to be in it?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, so I'll have to
be in that episode.
Fucking lug an
be
extra
in the whole
mic.
Episode?
Yeah, I'll lug cool. the fucking mic here for you, so you could be in the episode. And I'll go fuck myself that week. I'll just be in the back that time.
Oh, so she's gonna replace you?
She's the host.
That would be great. Can we just hear you in your best Nick impression? Go, hey, and welcome to the Media Obscure Podcast. We're a podcast dedicated to discussing retro and obscure movies and television shows. I'm your host, Thera, and I'm joined today by my faithful co-hosts, Mike and Raekwon.
I like to breathe.
I was imagining her more going like, what's up, sluts? We're doing the Media Obscura. We're doing Ren and Stimpy tonight.
Mike was just like, you're going to do it like, what's up, sluts?
Can I?
We're doing Ren and Stimpy. I got that loser Nick out of here. I'm the better host.
We're drinking.
It'll be Ratchet TV, to quote Raekwon.
Oh, no. Nick's just going to take the mic. Get out of here. You lost it.
Okay. Anyway, that brings us to the end of this episode. We do hope you enjoyed it, y'all. I'm going to do it like NPR now. So if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to support the Media Obscure podcast by sending it over to your friends and neighbors.
And families.
And bye.
Love you.
Peace.